So, Terry, I just wanted to thank you for inviting me and for having this nice platform where we can all talk and learn from each other. And I'd like to thank you, the Sun community, for being present, for being interested in resilience, and for your participation and insights as we go along. There is a worksheet that I have. I put it in the chat. Terry mailed it. It's not necessary, but it can help, you know, put thoughts down for you. And so for today, our talk is about building.
May I introduce you?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. I didn't know if you were or not, so I was just going to
introduce myself.
It's all flexible and all good.
Of course I do. So this is Eileen Carosio, whom I've known since 2007 or 8.
2005, actually, I think, when we...
I was looking at the list of graduation. Okay, yeah. And she has a BA and MA in nursing, 35 years experience, and is now known as the Midlife Muse. We have a Midlife Muse as one of our graduates. Her unique perspective is to address changes and challenges that can show up anytime, especially in midlife, which I can attest to. She has a fondness for foxes and can often be found with her camera capturing their antics and escapades. Wow, do I need this now? Go for it, Eileen.
Thank you, Terry. My colleagues and I work in that midlife and beyond space, and there's a lot of changes on that landscape. And we wrote a book to address those changes, the changes, the challenges, and really the opportunities that come with midlife. There is a lot of resilience in our book, our themes in our book. And then our last chapter is called Bouncing Forward. And in that chapter, we bring a lot of those thoughts together. And I also want to bring a process to you that maybe you can use to help build your own resilience and also to use with your clients. In our research, we found that there was books and articles, 101 ways to be resilient, 30 ways and practices to be resilient. But how could all of our clients and how could we remember all those ways when we needed them? So this process will distill down an easy vehicle, an easy vessel to put your thoughts and actions and plans into that. And we call that the MAP process. I do have some slides that I want to share with you and we can talk back and forth over those slides. And then afterwards have a much fuller and richer conversation about your insights and your own resilience experience or what action steps you might take as it relates to what I said. And feel free to stop me at any time. So let me get the slides. And for some reason that's not working. And sometimes this happens, so give me a minute. There it is, okay. So today is all about bouncing forward. And I know that perhaps people have said before, bounce back. But as coaches and people that have continual learning as their objective, we bounce forward. And because we evolve, we grow beyond all those changes. And I found a quote that you might like. It's by a Japanese novelist called Haruki. And he says, when you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person who walked in. And that just emphasizes how we become different. And also just to let you know that we, in addition to the worksheet that is in the chat, that we have a book giveaway. Terry will determine who will win that based on the most engaging question. And so just a little bit of where we're going today to guide you. I have a question for you. And coaches, we like questions. So I have a book overview about our themes, some about change and transition, and then that process that will help build your resilience. A fuller Q&A and then announcement of our book winner. So here's the question I have for you. What is one concern you have about the next few years? And I'm going to stop to share. So there's a lot that can happen if you're in midlife and beyond. Some things to think about are maybe something that's very personal to you, something that's maybe in the professional realm. You can look at life areas. Would you, in career, for example, would you be retiring? What might that mean to your identity? How about your health as we're aging? Are those some of the things that you might be concerned about? Is there anything that bubbles up for you as you think about your concern? And you don't have to have it, because it's just a question I've asked, and it can evolve over the course of our time together. And is it Carla? Did you have your hand up? I can't hear you.
No, sorry. I'm on the phone. I was clicking the button. Sorry.
Okay. No problem.
Okay.
Yes, Terry.
Well, the first thing that popped up for me surprised me, and it was in the next few years, people who I care for and love dearly might not be here anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
but I have no control over that. I only have control over me. But that popped up like, oh, no.
Yeah, you're not alone in that, Terry. That is something that we encounter as we move along and we age. People that we love, there's a loss on the midlife and beyond landscape, and how do we deal with that? So thank you, for sharing that. Okay, well, be thinking of where, your concern might be, like I said, a professional one, a personal one, something from the life areas. And let me go back to share here. And it, again, it could be something, that you're happy about, like maybe it being a new grandparent or starting a business. And just to let you know that the newer thinking now for midlife range, it varies. People are thinking that midlife can start 35 or 40, and it can go all the way up to age 75. So that's a whole span of 35 years. So there's a lot in there. And that's why I say maybe 1 to 2 years. It's easier to wrap your head around that. Or even, 1 year, whatever works for you. And so I'd like to just share you a little bit about this book. There's my colleagues, Dr. Paul Ward, Sandy Demarest, and I, we wrote this book to help people navigate all those challenges. And we did a lot of research for this book. Not only, the scientific background of what's happening now in midlife and beyond, the thought leaders in this area. We also brought our own research into it. We interviewed more than 50 people. They were 3-hour interviews. They shared a lot about their life. We learned a lot from them. And one of the things to share with you and as our Sun community is we share wisdom in our conversation. And so we learned from that, and that helped develop some of the themes for the book. And we also, amongst ourselves, we work in this group of people in the midlife and beyond. So we multiplied all of our expertise, our knowledge and experience. And so this here slide represents our book. It is a wheel, and we call this a conscious living wheel. And in this wheel, the heart center, the beginning spoke of the wheel is purpose. And we know from Sun that purpose is very foundational to our life. To those who won't have the visual here, I'm just going to let you know what the chapter titles are. Living well, appreciating money, working to live, working for fulfillment, savoring the world. That's where you live and where you travel to. living life creatively, that's the magical part, is being creative and being resilient, as well as the next chapter, minding relationships, helping humanity. What's our civic engagement like that we like to do? Things are happening very fast. Living with technology, how will you deal with it? And then we brought it all together in the bouncing forward chapter. And I just like to, you know, to emphasize that our conscious living wheel is about living on purpose, living with intention of, you know, how we think and how we make decisions and how we act on those decisions. And so when we talk about midlife and beyond, I want to know, like, why do you, you know, we want to live consciously in midlife and beyond? Why? And the reasons I just will share with you is that we don't know how long we're going to live. But for those years that we have each day, we want to be happy. We want to sleep at night. We want to be fulfilled. We don't want to be overwhelmed or be like this fellow, perhaps, that's has a look of being in the headlights like a deer, not being prepared. A certain amount of resilience is about being prepared, because change does happen, and we may not be ready for it. We may be very ready because we have some preparation. And I'd like to just share with you, because this is something that might help you and it might help your clients, is kind of like the categories of change. So on your worksheet, let me see if I can, I have my own worksheet here. You know, we talk about change, and change is an event or a circumstance, a status in your life that is different now. But in talking about categories, there's a speed of change. Like something can happen really fast to you. So you may have, you know, you're healthy one day and then you got a cancer diagnosis, or you're a stable relationship and then your mate asks for a divorce. Here in the Baltimore, Maryland region, we had a beautiful bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Out of nowhere, a cargo ship hit it. The bridge came tumbling down. So there's things that are happening now in environment, to, you know, to be aware of them. Change can be incremental. You may notice that you're going to the doctors more frequently, or you see neighbors moving away. There can be quantity of change. So you may have one change, and then another and another. And Bruce Feiler, who wrote Life is in the Transition, coined the term life quakes. It's a term, it's somewhat of a new term for massive sources of change. You may choose your change or not. And I want to include that an event can be a non-event, to helping, you know, with looking at perspective. So you may have wanted something to happen, but it didn't. Like you may have wanted children, but it didn't happen for you. You may have wanted a promotion, but that didn't happen. And when we think about our values, the meaning and impact of change is very important, especially with loss, especially when we maybe lose people we love, our mates, our parents. So those are things to consider. And no matter how we think of change, we know it's going to happen on midlife and beyond. So I have this slide here about someone that shared something with us, but I'm just looking at the time and I want to be, well, I think we have time here for this. This is, would you like me to read this, Terry? What do you think?
Sure. Yes, I don't see anyone right now who's not able to.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Read it.
So we interviewed a lot of people. Betty McDowell was a social justice advocate, and she puts things in perspective. She says, life is continually about finding new balances and perspectives. Your circumstances change, and then you have to start rearranging your life. One day you go from being married, then to being a widow, from being a full-time mother to being a grandmother. Take time to think, assess your situation, and find your new balance. So this might be a review for you, but one way to find your balance is through the process of transition. And the process is a process. It takes time. Sometimes we get amnesia because we want to be to the other side. William Bridges, back in 1979, identified these three phases of transitions, the endings, the neutral zone, the new beginning. And they're still relevant today. You have some ending with your job. You don't know whether, you know, you're going to go left or right. And then you get some resolution. The transition is internal. The change is external. And so, that neutral zone now is called the messy middle, and it is uncomfortable. You're indecisive. There's a matter of confusion. Oftentimes you feel like the world is just going so fast by you. You feel like maybe you're putting out fires. And so it's resilience that will help you smooth and soothe those sharp edges of the messy middle. And often, maybe you've heard the phrase, out of chaos comes a star. And that star is the upside of the messy middle. This is your canvas. This is where, and it's not an empty canvas. It's, you have talents, you have strength, you have skills, abilities, interests, you have friends, and you can rearrange all of that on your life canvas. You can take things off to allow for space for new things. You can put new things on there, but it's where you develop your vision. And it's very exciting. It's a very creative time. That's the upside. We know that there's the downside, and then this is the upside. And sometimes people feel like they're just like a hot mess. But really, to think about yourself as just a hot pot of possibilities and potential. And Brené Brown has said that this is when we start to dare greatly, where we stretch ourselves. We think bigger, what's out there for us. And resilience is when you adapt well to these challenges. And we defined it as the ability to combine the supportive mindsets and actions that inspire us to move forward with hope from all this adversity. And just for a metaphor for those that are listening, think of yourself on a surfboard. You're out there in the water and you're surfing the waves. As you out there more frequently, because the waves of life can be similar to the changes, is you're learning over time life lessons, guidelines for living of how to be more resilient. As time goes on, you become more competent in your abilities and become more confident. And in the interviews that we had with the many people, they said when they got through it, when they worked through it and got to the new beginnings, they were very joyful. They were happy. They had a sense of mastery. And so we coined this the resilient effect. And it wasn't just one person who said this. It was many people said the same words over and over again, felt joyful, felt happy. And we know that there's many rewards of resilience. And that you can sleep better, your immune system is better, you're not getting as many colds, you're not getting as sick. Your relationships are often better because you become more empathetic. There's many, many more, less physical symptoms of stress. And so this is where we start to have a little bit more engagement is, how do you get there? How do you become more resilient? No matter, you know, what is that identified concern that you had? How do we get there? How do we get anywhere is often with a map. We need to know somewhat of a route to get there. So developed a acronym with M that stands for mindsets, A stands for actions, and P stands for plans. Again, this is to make things simple for you and for your clients. And just to review you know, what really is a mindset? It's our beliefs and it's our opinions that we hold about ourselves and the world. They often can come to us subconsciously in thoughts and images. And science tells us how important our mindsets that affect our decisions and actions. Throughout our entire book, we have a lot of about mindsets. We have the open mindset. There's a lot in there, but for the particular chapter, Bouncing Forward, we identified 9. And I'm just going to, for those that are listening, read and just give you a sentence for each one or a quick descriptor. So there's the novice mindset, which is just being open. You're curious. You're asking questions and being willing to learn and grow. This is something that we do as coaches, and we want to help our clients do the same. The acceptance mindset is, what is the current reality? Can we accept it? Being competent, when here, you know, we're looking at, hey, what's working for you? And confident, we're pulling and looking at our strengths, our skills, our abilities, our capacities. And then there is the courageous mindset, which is focusing on taking a step forward despite your fears. And the well-being mindset, which is focusing on the very holistic approach of body, mind, and spirit. The positive future mindset is focusing on your wishes and those opportunities that come aboard. And then finally, the resilient mindset that combines all of them. And it includes other things. It includes acceptance, openness, flexibility, being patient, being empathetic, compassionate to others and also to ourselves, and being resourceful, and courage and forgiveness. So I'd like to just stop sharing for a second and ask you about those mindsets. Is, when you think about that concern that you have, is there a particular mindset that comes to you that you feel like you might be able to use? It could be one of the 9. I'm just going to put this here. It could be one of the 9, or it could be something that you have. I just put it in the chat just for as a reminder. What are some of your thoughts on that? Would any brave soul be willing to share what their identified concern is? That's him.
Once you said the brave soul, I had to jump.
Good for you and for us.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for what you shared. I felt during this reading the names of the chapters that you're speaking about me, or speaking directly to me. So it is very highly resonant. 9 out of the 10 chapters, I felt that you're talking about myself. And it's like the taxi driver asking, "You talking to me?" Yeah, I'm talking to me. My concern at age 68 is that all there is?
Mm.
And if more, then how do I grab it?
Mm-hmm.
In good health and in time, because nobody knows the time. And what comes to my mind as to how to mindset, I didn't think of mindsets at all until you brought this up, but when I think of a mindset, I said, I'm not sure, but I think perhaps a mindset of curiosity, will and the wish to explore, and some level of confidence that I can get there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, curiosity is a very big one, and sometimes we live in the question of how will we do that, and let our brains noodle on that. Well, thank you for being a brave soul. And Dahlia, hi.
Hi, Eileen, and congratulations of that book. You know, this is my speciality in coaching, and I did it very well as long as I was young. And now when I'm getting older, I have some questions and some things that I need to think about. But for me, I want to relate to the resilient mindset. For me, it's two things. It's compassion, first of all, and acceptance. And I believe that as long as I will learn how to accept and how to be compassionate about myself, me being aging, and seeing myself in a different mindset. I mean, I see myself very young, but when I watch in the mirror, this is not the face that looks at me. So this is what concerns me.
Yeah, thank you, Dalia. Yeah, thank you. I mean, as we get older, there's, you know, the acceptance of getting older, and then perhaps you know, making the most of it and change our physical changes. So you brought up some very good types of things, and we're going to get right into it. So thank you. It was right on cue. Okay. All right. So as an example for today, I had just chosen the well-being mindset, and that's to be the healthiest and the holistic approach. And I want to introduce you to Kathy McAvoy and show you how the MAP, the mindsets, the action, and the plans can be applied, so you maybe understand it a little bit better. Kathy developed breast cancer. She was healthy 1 minute, as she thought, went to the doctor, got diagnosed with breast cancer, and it interrupted her entire life. And then she was very successful in her career. She was a vice president of product development. And so she had to make some changes. And so using the MAP, again, this is, you know, your mindset, what were her thoughts? Her thoughts are, what is my priority, she said. Her priority was being healthy, to be the healthiest that she could be. Her priority was her family. And as with thoughts, our thoughts, we have questions, and we love questions. How can I optimize my well-being, she asked over and over again. And, you know, there's that question. She's living in that question and learning and adding things as she went along. Not only that, but, you know, when you think of thoughts, you could use sayings, and this is what we found with people when we interviewed. This too will pass is a saying or an affirmation. Those who do yoga understand maybe no mud, no lotus flower. So they can be used as affirmations. I work with caregivers. I am a nurse. I work with other groups too, but an image that they have that in mind is a full pitcher of water to remind them that they cannot give from an empty pitcher. So there's images to think of. Kathy had an image of being happy and strong. This was in her mind up here. And it was also, she had it on her wall. Things that she wanted to focus on. So it was her vision. She had it, you know, on her wall. She had it in her mind. It was somewhat anchored positively for her. And then we moved into actions. And so on your worksheet, you know, we have four areas of action. And so simply put, we use these based on our interviews with our clients, that there was four foundational parts to resilience. And one was physical component, emotional component, social component, and spiritual. There are other parts that, as we know, like financial, but those are very specific, or career, but these are things that can help us with our well-being. So Kathy, here's an example of Kathy with her actions. And this might be something that gives you some ideas too. So Kathy chose to get sleep. She chose to eat nutritiously and get exercise. for emotional support, she chose to get a dog. Now, I don't know too many people who have breast cancer, have surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, choose to get a dog. But this is, again, this is individual to you and to your clients, what's going to work for them. She wanted a fluffy little dog to hold, to love, and help her with exercise. She quit her corporate job. Remember, her priority was her health, and her corporate job pulled a lot of energy from her. Not everybody can quit their corporate job, but she made, you know, financial sacrifice to do that because her priority was her health. And then the social well-being, she found that people that humored her, that nourished her with goodwill, she wanted to spend more time with. And so she, that was part of her action. She limited the people that stressed her and spent more time with the people who provided goodwill for her. And then Kathy, being a very spiritual person, she chose a book. Okay, well, I'm going through this. Maybe this book will give me insight and lift me up. And so she chose Eckhart Tolle's Awakening to Her Life's Purpose. And just going to go here. Again, these are the four building blocks you can have with your clients. A piece of paper. And just fold it in four and put those there. You can and figure out what your actions are. This is an example, and I didn't provide it as a handout. It's you can use it if you run out of ideas, but it was just an example. And the reason being is that you pull from your own self. What might be good here may not be good for you. And these are generating options for your actions. You don't have to do all these are the things you could do, and then you have choices. You can choose them depending on your energy level. Maybe I'll just do a little bit, maybe I'll do more. And so I want to, let's see, go back here to this as to, like, what are some of the actions that you might take to support these four areas. Any other brave souls or a brave soul out there with the actions that you might think that you would take? And you may not have the answer right now. It might be something like you'll go for a walk and you'll think, hey, that would be something that would really be helpful, especially like on a beautiful day today. It's autumn here. The leaves are changing. It could be that you're going to go for a walk every day. It could be that you're, you know, going, maybe you're an introvert and need time to have for solitude and just be outside, have time for yourself. Or maybe if you're an extrovert, you might, you know, get more energy with people. So be thinking about those types of things. Any actions anybody wants to share that bubbles up for them?
A
brave soul, yes, thank you.
Yeah. All you have to, whenever you want me to speak, just say brave soul, I'll be gentle. Yeah. So I started to take good care of my, better care of my health and exercise and a bit in eating habits. But a different aspect of it is that my wife and I, it was maybe 2-3 years ago, maybe even a bit more, we started to have planned into our joint calendar. We have a joint calendar. And we started to have board meetings.
Uh-huh.
Planned board meetings of the Katz family,
uh-huh.
She and me. And we, besides me bringing her coffee every morning to bed, we have a chat in the morning about who uses the car, what we do, where we go, etc. But in those board meetings, about every 2 to 3 weeks, we are planning and we have documents in the file, believe it or not. The documents in the file, and there are many documents, but one of the most interesting documents is a document that goes 20, 30 months ahead. And it has five layers. Layer number one, Nahum professionally. What do I want for the next 24-30 months? Nahum personally, Ofra professionally, Ofra personally, and together.
Nice.
And we put them on the graph, and every 2 months, 3 months, we're looking, oh, that did happen, that didn't happen, that will happen, and we plan, and as we plan, and as we discuss, we get committed, and we kind of reach those goals as well.
Thank you. Yeah, for sharing. So you had kind of like your own vision. You brought it together for a mutual decision, and then you shared that with each other, and you continued to, to monitor. Thank you. Yeah. Alfonso, hi.
Hi. The reason, since I was diagnosed of some illness in my lungs, I received coaching from my students, and they asked me to set a vision of myself in the future. And they remind me that I was a sportsman.
Yeah.
I try to continue. And this image was playing tennis with one of my first students, which was an ATP tennis player, professional tennis player. So I want to play with him when I am 80 years old. This was the vision. Then I was diagnosed of cancer in the lung. And I said, well, and what I learned 1 year later, now that I know that at least this year I have been great with my body, I learned that the key thing is the mindset in the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Not, in the sense of what is your attitude now? Because what I have noticed as years pass is that I may become more preventing things, trying to anticipate what could be the pros and cons of everything, and especially after the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all, doesn't matter what age, but we all started thinking on what could be worse.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't used to do so. I wasn't used to think what could be worse.
Mm-hmm.
And now I ask myself whether it's an intelligent question. And I ask myself whether it's intelligent to put health higher than it was. And I don't know if I'm transmitting what I want to. The typical thing is that if you have a pain or a disease or a illness, then you fortalecer.
Empower?
To strengthen.
You
enforce
the value of health in your value hierarchy. Yes? And as we get older, we think that the probability of an illness is higher, regardless of whether we have very good habits or not.
Mm-hmm.
And this may not be the right mindset from my, that's what I am asking to myself. Is that the right mindset? Or should we go back to young thoughts in which you don't care about whether when you are going to die?
Yeah, they're interesting.
You care about enjoying life every day. and every moment.
And so just a question, would that be part of well-being is looking at your mindset and enjoying life and maybe not focusing on the downside? I mean, what would be ideal for you that would make you feel happy and content?
Keeping my visions.
Ah, okay.
Regardless of whether, of course, if you have a vision of, I don't know, running a marathon when you are 90 and you, in an accident, you cut your legs, mm-hmm. you may think you should change your vision. Mm-hmm. But many people that we see in TV programs, mm-hmm. on the contrary, they lose their legs and they increase their visions.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, this is really intriguing. I mean, really intriguing, Alfonso, is, you know, what will work best for each individual, you know, and what's possible and what's, you know, it involves just kind of thinking about it and developing that vision that works for each of us, I would imagine.
And at the same time, it's paradoxical because I should learn things from my experience. If I learn from my experience from a be careful mindset, mm-hmm. the visions are different.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that, Fonso. And I hope that you were
patient, trying to understand me.
So we have Carla and then Dahlia.
Thank you. May I share something? Just 1 minute. According what we know, with what just Alphonse told us, a very wise friend of mine who had breast cancer twice and loves playing tennis, and also smokes, drinks, and many other things. And once I told her, "What do you feel about taking care of your health? As otherwise, you won't be able to play tennis when you're 70. And she told me, "I don't know if I will get to be 70, so I prefer enjoying today." This is something I think that has to be what Alfonso just told us. This is for you, Alfonso. Friend Aaron.
I'm not sure whether I have the courage of your girl, of your friend, to live just one day after the other. I had my master, John Collins.
Yeah.
He used to say, live in the present. And he was a teacher for all of us. So thank you for bringing this practice, this activity has been useful, and I am willing to design things and to ask myself whether they deserve to be followed or to be pursued, mm-hmm. more than living the present.
And not to go back to values, but to go back to values is you know, what is the value and the quality of life, and always that we are at choice. You may have this mindset or that mindset, but what's the mindset or thinking that will work for Alfonso? Mm-hmm. That you're at choice and you can choose, and maybe today you try this mindset and see how it is. Try it out for a week. How does that go? And the next week, something else. Mm-hmm. Those are just some possibilities. And you can fill out that little boxes. I'm going to share that. I'm going to see if I can go back. you know, you can, let's see, here we go. You can fill out one of these of all the possibilities and choose. And we're always that choice of what may work for you. It's a very intriguing question, Alfonso, and all that, you know, you shared. And this is a very interesting discussion, and I thank you for that.
Thank you to you.
The next part of this map process is the plan.
Wait a minute. Dahlia had her hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Dahlia.
I lower my hand, and I hope that you will forget that I raised it. But if you said like this, so first of all, Alfonso, I hope you invite us in your 80s for all of us to look at you playing tennis, because this is maybe some insurance that we are going to be there when you will be 80. So, and I am thinking, and thank you, Aileen. It's very interesting, and something came into my mind. It's about the balance between the being and the doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And as I see it, and Alfonso talked about courage, and he talked about and the mindset that it's needed, the living for the attitude, living in today, living in tomorrow, and I think that people don't understand, and this is something that maybe has to say something about our job in this area, is to focus more on the mindset. It's very easy to plan. It's easy to plan. It's more easy, okay, to plan things and actions and doing things. But then it comes, like you said, Alfonso, what if I don't do it? Then it comes something that blocks you from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And this interests me very much, because this is something that I know that I want to work on myself and with other people. And I think the being has to be more emphasized, be more served to the people we work with.
Service, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I recognize that as I get older, the weight of being the best coach in the world is lower, and the weight of becoming, being at service is higher.
Yeah.
And I can swear I didn't do anything for it. That's okay. Yeah.
That's so you suggest that we be patient.
Patience, not patience. T-S.
No, patience.
You'll become a patient if you want to be patient.
No, I don't want to be patient. No thanks.
Dahlia, thank you so much for that, because yes, very, very true. It's about being and doing. That mindset can be all about being, because our thoughts relate to our feelings. They're so strongly connected, and you can choose how you want to feel and what would help you feel that way. And also the balance with the doing. And John Collins certainly was a very beloved teacher, mentor, and I'm glad you mentioned him, Alfonso. Thank you for that. Okay, I'm just gonna kind of, let's go back to this little thing here. Speaking of the doing, there's the plans. And we have the little mouse view things, the little, when will I take the walk? Like Kathy had a plan, like when she would walk. It might be of when she wanted to. It was up to Kathy when she, you know, read her book. But then there's this bigger view, and it's the A, B, C, D, E model. And in a research, we found Dr. Paul Wong, W-O-N-G, had this A, B, C, D, E model. And I'm going to share with you that A was accepting what cannot be changed. And this is a threshold that can be challenging to get past if there's loss. And there's loss on different areas in the midlife and beyond landscape. Loss of maybe a dream or a way of being, loss of people that we love or the way that we did things. And then, you know, once accepting that, or maybe getting help to accept that, and then, you know, moving on to believing, hey, what are my values? What's important to me? How can I align my mindset, my heart, what's in here with that? And that's that, the believing that life is still worthwhile. These are my values. And then it's about, okay, I'm going to choose some things. I'm going to commit to some choices, some actions. It doesn't have to be a lot of actions. You can take small steps, relevant steps, and you can choose from that little four boxed area of what they are. And then the D is discovering something new about yourself. So these are your life lessons. As Terry might say, they might be your guidelines for living. These are things that you can use to help you live a life that you desire. This can be something that you share with others. Maybe, you know, your life legacy, full of life lessons. And then the E is when you complete that feedback loop, that you evaluate, hey, how did this all, you know, work? What worked well? What didn't? What would I do different? And then you made some changes. Celebrate those changes, those positive outcomes that worked for you. And again, those little feet there are to remind us that they're tiny steps that we can take. And so just to summarize this MAP process, we're looking at mindsets, our thoughts, our sayings, mantra, images. There's questions in there that we can ask of ourselves, or maybe even ask of our clients. And these are all connected with our feelings. So Dahlia, there's your kind of like your being. And then the actions, again, those four areas that will support you. And then your plans, the big view, and then the little view. And then these are just some takeaways that I hope that this was a part of what you have taken away. And I want to get right into a discussion about more of this. Change happens. We know it, especially as we age. Transitions is a process that we adapt to change. And then just enhance your resilience. Try out the MAP. See how it works for you. And to always know that it's a skill, you know, it's a learnable skill. You're just building capacity and you have choices. You can decide how you want to go and where you want to go. And that leads us to where I want to go next, which is the question and answer time. And I want to thank you all for being so kind and sharing of yourself. And your life and your thoughts. So this is our question and answer time. You can ask questions.
We have 4 minutes left. We have 4 minutes left.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes and no questions will be easier with more time.
I might have a question for you. Would there be something that resonated for you, or an aha, or a first step that you might want to take based on our time together today?
I just want to say that this was really wonderful. And I appreciate, it's good to see you in this role. And we finally, you know, you've been like hitting the mic for a while. Beautifully done for me. Sorry. Very clean, elegant, and a wonderful template to share and be able to follow ourselves for ourselves, as well as being able to share it with clients as well. But I'm delighted to see you. This was fun, And it's it takes it, and I'm an introvert. You'd never know it. But I need to think about it. I want to go back and look at the document you sent, and it's lovely. You've done a beautiful job. Thank you very much. That's not very specific, but anyway, sorry.
It's very kind, and I thank you very much for your thoughts and for being here. And it's great to see you again. It's been a long time.
Natalia.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Eileen. I love this time with all of you. I will stay with one phrase that you start this conversation with us. That is that when we are in the storm, when you are in the middle of the storm, when we go out, we will never be the same person. And I really identify with this phrase. For me, it's like my whole life. As I'm changing from different countries, I'm living in a different way. I really appreciate. I wrote it down because I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Because it's at this time that I have the opportunity to be more conscious in myself, to have more consciousness and think of what I'm going to continue doing or not. Mm-hmm. And I have the chance to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Nadia.
Thank you. Massimo?
Yes, just to thank you. I will try to recognize some signs that I wasn't considering before today, but I see there are. I was thinking when you were talking that I have noticed that my brain and my body are running in different. Yeah. Different times, but I was not thinking about that until that moment. So thanks so much.
Thank you. And thank you for you sharing about how the brain and body were going in different directions, so to speak. I think perhaps we can all resonate with that. And resilience is a huge area. I mean, it's something that we work with our clients with. We work with ourselves. It's something that it's a continuity in our life, continually trying to find the right balances. And not to my brave soul. Yeah. Where is he? I see that he's raised his hand.
Yeah, thank you. Just to say that you, just like Massimo, you touched my heart, my gut, and my brain. And I'm looking forward to read the rest. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you,
Eileen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. So Terry is going to select, and I know it must be a difficult decision, so I'm glad I gave it to you because so many people contributed.
Well, I have the questions here, Eileen. I'll read them. There weren't very many questions. Nahum said, is there more? How do I grab it?
Oh,
Dahlia said, how can I accept? And then the balance of doing and being. What is the balance of doing and being? Mm-hmm. Alfonso said, what is your attitude? Do my designs deserve to be followed? I think you were speaking about your visions. Do they deserve to be followed? What could be worse? I'm writing down everything word for word, so if you don't remember, you said it, you did. is this the right mindset to be intelligent, to put health higher than it was in my value hierarchy? That was Alfonso's also. Carla, what do you feel about caring for my health? Oh my God. They're all so good. But, you know, Nahum's question, is there more? How do I grab it? Seems to have been the envelope that these others went inside. How can I accept what more there is? How do I grab it? What is your attitude? How do I grab it? So I think I'm going to vote for Nahum. Is there more? How do I grab it?
Yes. Congratulations.
You won. You won. You won. First prize.
So, I will get back. Cherry will give me your email, and I will coordinate with you on how to get the book to you. So congratulations, and thank you all so much for sharing from yourselves, from your hearts, from your lives. It's very heart touching, and I appreciate it. And I look forward to maybe talking more about resilience with each of you, and maybe further conversations, especially.